Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Bid Nerds. Welcome, Michael Deeb, my partner. My name is John Polnick. We're doing it. We're doing this show because the nerd herd is growing. And I think if we stopped, we'd have a problem because the nerd herd would come after us. We are doing this show daily, and people are commenting, and we really appreciate you guys doing all the hard work of spreading the word. So thank you, guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We're getting there. We're getting really close to 1,000. Maybe by the time this particular episode airs, we'll be at 1,000. I don't know. We're that close. We could already be past 1,000.
That'll be awesome. Yeah, it'll be just on the far side of Luftgekult weekend, and we're hoping to make a big push, a groundswell of energy towards reaching 1,000 subscribers. So if you haven't already, please subscribe. And if you have subscribed, please tell somebody who hasn't subscribed that they should watch and subscribe because they will enjoy it hopefully as much as you do. Thank you for watching.
Shout out to our good friends at Godden Classic of Las Vegas, Godden Porsche. They are the first classic Porsche classic dealer in North America, and they've got the experts over there hooking you up with all the right parts for your classic, and they've got a great selection of classic Porsches that you can actually go and get right now instead of having to sit around with all these auction sites, right?
Didn't you just tell me that the car that's been in our commercial for the last couple of months, the linen gray 89 G50 Cabriolet, has in fact hit the front line and already sold?
That is my understanding. Yes, it's got a big old sold sign on it. So a bunch of people in the dealership over the weekend drooling all over it, but they can't take it. Got to act quick. All right, guys, talk about quick. Boy, we are talking about some spectacular Porsches this week. This week on the show, we have been kind of doing a Luft, kind of a Luft special, right? Luft week, post-Luft week. It's all Porsches. And you pulled out all the stops on this one. A holy grail of holy grails. Michael Deeb, take it away.
John, do you know what option code M003 stands for?
You're going to tell me.
RS Club Sport, baby. This is the real deal. So on Bring a Trailer, we have a no reserve auction for this 1995 Porsche 911 Carrera RS Club Sport. Now, you and I know these cars pretty well because we bought one when I was at Godden Porsche. I bought one out of an auction in Europe and had to bring the car in on the show and display because the car wasn't 25 years old when we bought it. So we couldn't get it under that exemption. We had to create one on the show and display list and brought the car in. This is not that car, but it is so darn close. JP, look at it. It's an exact replica. And again, it's the real thing. They made nearly 2,000 RSs in 95 and 96. But only 227 were actual club sports. So 993, 911 Carrera RSs probably weigh a couple hundred pounds less than a standard 993 coupe. The club sports probably issue another 200 pounds. I'm guessing this car probably weighs in that 2,400 to 2,500-pound category and makes 300 horsepower at the tire from its enlarged 3.8-liter flat-six engine. The car has a six-speed manual. It's got beautiful speedline multi-piece wheels, and the roll cage is standard equipment because while a Carrera RS is a street car with racing car parts on it, this car is basically a race car that's still legal to drive on the road. I remember driving that car that we had at Godden, and I couldn't believe how powerful the car felt considering it's only 300 horsepower. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that the car is extremely light and unbelievably responsive. That motor snaps. It's really revvy and it's really sensitive. It's unbelievably responsive. The other thing that's incredible is all the adjustable suspension on this car. Even the sway bars are adjustable. The camber and all the geometry is completely adjustable. But no matter how you set it up, these cars are unbelievably alive in your hands. I've owned three GT3s, and none of them felt as incredible as this car did when I drove it while we were at Godden. So I love seeing this car here. The car is showing 38,000 kilometers, which equates to about 24,000 miles. It's in Buffalo Grove, Illinois, and I believe the car is on a clean Montana title in the United States, which means If you would like to borrow some money from the bank to buy this car, you can do it because it's already titled in the US. I think the only place you'd have a hard time getting it into would be California, but all the other lower 47, I think you'd be pretty easy to buy this car and get it on the road in your state on the exemption that it was probably brought in under. So JP, do you remember that car? I can't remember if you got to drive it or if I took you around the block. Did you ever drive that red RS when we had it?
No, I didn't get to drive that one, but you took me around the block, and I remember that experience. Oh, man, listen to that sound. I don't know if the sound is coming through to the show or not. Let's see.
It is. I can
hear it. I know you can hear it, but I don't know if the audience can hear it. I think you can.
Shut it down. What?
Yeah, that is one hell of a car.
He's in traffic in this video, which drives me nuts that he didn't take it out into the country. And every time he downshifts, he over revs the car. So he's like, vroom, and makes these big blips of the throttle and the downshift, which is very clumsy the way he's driving the car. The other thing that drives me nuts is the placement of the camera, where all you can see is the damn roll bar and his hands. John, you have ruined me. Doing the show has raised the game. I only accept from now on decent car videos or better, and this car video is one of the worst I can remember seeing, and I just figured it would be like nails on a chalkboard, especially if you happen to get one of the clips where the guy over revs it on the downshift. It's really clumsy driving and a poorly placed camera, and it's a shame because all of the assets, including the video, are terrible on this car, and this is a unbelievably special and rare car. This car could go for $500,000, and I don't think it's got any shot at that considering how bad the assets are. It's on the right platform, although I would make an argument that a car like this should be in a live auction in Monterey or Amelia Island, because it's just that special a car. This car isn't going to go to it could go to a millionaire, but this car probably wind up going to a billionaire. It's a really rare, really expensive, really special car, and I think they did a piss poor job on the assets, John. I'm not going to beat around the bush. I really don't like how they've brought it to market here. I think they dropped the ball, and they're going to leave a lot of money on the table. And don't forget, this is a no reserve auction, so they have to live with what they're going to get. And I think it's a swing and a miss. So JP, I send it back to you. What do you think of the assets? What do you think of the car? What do you think is going to happen here at the end?
Yeah, I mean, you want to show what it's like to drive it. This is a 993 RS. It's not a club sport, but this is what it's like to be behind the wheel, something like that. Come on. All right, this is all I want to do. I don't even want to talk about the car anymore. I just want to watch. Ah, jeez, man.
That's amazing.
I just want to get out there and drive a car. Go check out the Rami Show, guys. That's the review of his 993 RS. It's not a club sport. It's regular RS, as if there's anything such thing as a regular RS. But, whew. I didn't get to drive the club sport, but I have driven the regular one extensively. And anything, if something could be better, I don't know how it's possible. Between you and me, I'd rather have a non-club sport one. I'll go ahead and say it. I don't like the full roll cage thing. I want the car with a little bit of creature comforts. I mean, not like there's hardly any in this, but it does have air conditioning in the regular RS.
Right. So these 993s are all slick tops and seam welded. So they're super responsive, even Rami's car. But Rami's car has, electric windows and carpet. This car has roll-up windows. There's no carpet, no sound deadening. The car's really loud on the inside. It's got adjustable aero. I mean, it really is a race car. Now, John, if you were a multimillionaire and you had a place at Spring Mountain, a condo at Spring Mountain to keep your car just for the track, and you could afford to just keep this car there to do laps in, sure. But yeah, Rami's car makes way more sense 99% of the time. And I agree with you. I think that'd be the better car to own. This car is just unbelievable to drive. I think they did it. Talk to me about what you saw in the video there. Like, how bad a job is this that you've got this rare car, you're running it at no reserve, and you bring these kind of assets to the platform? It's pathetic.
Yeah, it really is. Is this a private person or is this a dealer? Do we know that? It's a private party. Wow. Yeah. I mean, geez, did they just do the $100 thing, or did they hire the, because for $350 you get a photographer from BAT to come out, and you know the BAT photographers aren't fantastic, but they aren't going to do this bad a job, are they? If this is representative of one of those $350 gigs, that's terrible.
According to BAT, you don't pay for a premium listing. They grant you a premium listing if they think the car is special. So this has been granted a premium listing by BAT. But I'm surprised they did that with these assets. I would think, okay, we're going to make you a premium listing, but you got to take the photos over again. Like hire, spend $300 and get a photographer.
If you're trying to sell a car that's $100,000 or more, and you know, you start getting that $200,000-$400,000 cars, it's like, dude, spend a couple of grand on assets. It's nothing compared to the overall amount of the car. And it's, you're going to have so, well, I mean, it does if you do it really right.
I agree, a car like this deserves it.
I mean, a car like this deserves assets that really show the romanticism of why you want something this special. And this car is special. So all that said, what do you think, what's going to be the results of this auction? Is that going to kill it, the assets, or people are going to look past it?
Yeah, so I, you know, it could be that the car is so rare, people look past the assets and just say, okay, here's one that's available and it's on a title in the U.S., so you got to jump on it because there's just not that many of them here in this country. So our car closes in 5 days, John. It's no reserve, and it's already up to $196,000 on six bids. I put down as my bid $485,000, but I'm just choking on that a little bit. I'm going to take 20 grand off because I'm really upset with the way they brought it to light. And I think somebody's going to nab it for like 465,000 or 450 grand, somewhere in that range. And I think they're going to do well on it because it's low miles and it looks to be like a clean example. I think this is a $500,000 car, but it doesn't have a $500,000 presentation to it. So I'm going to go $465,000 and send it back to you.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know if there is a $500,000 car anymore, you know, unless it's something that's super, super, super special. And you can make the argument that this is that. But it's, I mean, you know, look, the economy is tough. And, you know, inflation is a thing, absolutely. But, yeah, I think anything over $300,000 is really, really hurting. I think it's going to have a hard time making 400. I'm going to say 300,993.
Wait, you're going 300,993?
No, 300,993. So
yeah, 300,993.
300,900. Wait a minute, 300,000.
Yep.
993.
Yeah. So again, we're saying this again, 300,993.
How do you say 300? I guess it would be more like 399,993.
Okay. Okay, there you go.
That's where I'm trying to be. 300,993.
Yeah, 93. Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. So 400 grand is essentially your bid. Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. I'm
just
with you. I got your number.
Just a smooch under 400,000.
And I think that's a good bid.
Cause I just don't think it's going to break 400. I don't think anything breaks 400 unless it's a Singer, or a CGT at this point. I think CGTs are going to probably start bringing more money than, what was the one after that? The Porsche, what was the
918?
The 918. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're at that moment.
So I'm going to say this. If this car goes for your number or less, it is 100% stolen. Like, you think that 993 that we saw that had the GT2 build was a great deal. This will be an amazing deal because essentially somebody will have bought this car for, I think, if it goes for 400 grand, they'll have bought it for 20% off, which is pretty amazing. Yeah. But I just don't think that'll happen. I think the car is too rare. But that's why we do the show. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I think that if it were presented differently and better, maybe it does break the 400. But I just think the economy, just $400,000 cars just aren't happening right now. Just not, I mean, look at all the other exotics, how much of a just bath they're taking. You know, you look at like, you know, the Lambo SVJs and the Chirons and all that stuff and the Mercedes Blacks. I mean, those are like half price now.
You know. Aren't you glad you don't own a Lambo FVJ? Like I am, Paul, man. I'm so glad I'm taking a bath in my Lambo.
What do you guys think? Am I completely off base? Is this car going to just break the bank? Is it going to bring all the money, or are the bad pictures going to hurt it? Like Deeb says, is $400,000 a steal or what? Let us know in the comments below, and we will find out right after this. If I can hit the button. Hey guys, I gotta tell you about our friends Godin Porsche of Las Vegas and Godin Classic. If you're looking for a new Porsche or a classic, you gotta call our friend Steve at Godin. Save yourself the hassle of screwing around with all the auctions like we always talk about and just talk to Steve. He'll find you the classic Porsche you're looking for, Godin Porsche of Las Vegas. We talk about Luftkult a lot. We had Patrick Long on the show a couple episodes ago. I like to find, you know, beef everywhere we can. It's just kind of like an old Wendy's commercial. There's some ish going on right now because every time Luftkult comes up, it's kind of like the film festivals. What is it? Sundance, and then you get Slamdance and all the other ones. Yep. You know, Luftkult's kind of cultivated all these other events that happen around it. And then you get all these different bodies that are like, there's all this political posturing, everyone trying to like, oh, you come to our event, or no, you come to our event. And, you know, so this year it's no different being in San Francisco. We are back in the future. Welcome back, everybody. It is the second half of your favorite show on the YouTube machine that talks about, makes predictions, and reconciles car auctions from BAT and Cars and Bids and all those things. Because I'm sure there's a whole bunch of other of these shows that someone else does better, right? Is there anyone better at this than us? If there were one more, they would be better at it than us. So we are the number one car prediction reconciliation show on YouTube. We're going to go with that. Welcome back, everybody. We went to Luftkult 9 over the break while you guys were sitting around watching a couple of commercials. We went and did all kinds of things. Michael Deeb, you did a great job hosting us all in San Francisco. We all had a great time in your city. And I don't know of anyone who got their Porsche broken into.
Oh, that's good. Not even Rami. He slept in the city a couple nights, didn't he?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I parked my car across the street from your restaurant in a parking garage that the car did not get broken into, but I will say going back to my car was a little rapey. I mean, that was the rapiest parking garage I have ever walked through. Holy cow.
Do you know why? It's under a church.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go there. Under Grace Cathedral. Don't get me started.
Yeah. Yeah. People, how was that thing not full of homeless people? I don't know, man. It was some dark and scary stuff, but, yeah, that was a good spot to park. Nobody messed with the cars. Sahan had his crazy Mercedes. His crazy Mercedes on your drive. How was that?
Just unbelievable. Noisy. So he and Rami were right behind me as I led. And even when Sahan was behind Rami, who was behind me, we could hear his car downshifting into the turns. And it just sounded like somebody was hand feeding an angry, hungry tiger. It was just barking at you. That car was so loud and so amazing. And Safan drove it pretty well, man. He was, he was right there the whole time in his big C63 with like 500 horsepower to the tires.
He had something to prove, man. He had a chip on his shoulder and he's like, screw these Porsches. Now, Sahan, to his credit, he used to own an air cooled 911, but now he has a crazy AMG thing. I don't know.
Yeah, but he loves that car. He's so happy in that car. And that car is so loud. It was really obnoxious. It was great.
Well, what do you think? Okay, so this car that you guys are all waiting for the results on, this 993, for your drive, this car would have been awful. It would have ripped the front nose off of this poor little club sport. Tell us about the results of this thing. What happened?
So, John, there's a couple things going on here that you and I need to discuss. In that, what we're looking at is the 95 Carrera RS Authentic CS with 38,000 miles. That equates to just 24,000 miles. So 38,000 kilometers, which is 24,000 miles. Somebody ran this car no reserve. And as I said earlier, they might have made – somewhere between 1,300 and 2,000 RSs, but they only made 227 CSs. And so I said $465,000. You said you thought it would struggle to make 400. Our car was at $200,000 on six bids when we reviewed it, and the car sold on just, 51 bids. So it had a lot of bids, but it only went up to $296,000, where it then sold because it's a no-reserve auction. JP, I think that this seller is probably kicking himself right now that he ran this car no-reserve, because I don't think that number represents a proper retail number for the model. Now, again, I'll agree with the argument that the model is niche. I'll even agree that it has, you know, way less appeal, like we were saying before the break, that like you and I would both rather have Rami's regular RS because it's a more user streetable car. This car, as you were just saying when we came back from break, is really for the guy that has a garage or goes to all sorts of track days and has sort of FU money and can afford to track a car like this. This car belongs on a closed course in a controlled environment with smooth roads. This is not a good streetcar. You can drive it on the road, but it's not a good streetcar. But that should not diminish its rarity or its value. And I think that's what happened here. I don't think the right buyer was in the room to pay the money. These two guys that were fighting over it, one of them gave up too soon, and this car didn't get to its proper retail number, because at less than $300,000, John, I mean, for God's sake, you can't even get, try buying a Ruby Stone 964 RS for less than $400,000. And this car, by the numbers, is way rarer and you know, way more important and a way better performer, even if it's more niche. And you know, we're not talking about that. Like, I think this car got stolen. And I'm sorry I wasn't around to buy it myself, because I would have loved to. This thing is an unbelievable piece of Porsche Motorsport history. In a way that Rami's car can't even touch, because of all the important parts that are on it from Vysok and how few of them they made. And this car going for less than 300 grand, I think somebody made a calculated judgment and got it like seriously wrong, to the tune of $100,000 or $200,000 wrong, and possibly more. This car should have been sold, protected by a reserve, and gone to a live auction in the hands of you know, people that know how to handle these things, and would have made sure that the correct billionaires were in the room to get this car. It's just money. And that's not what happened here on BAT. They were a little cavalier, and I bet they're kicking rocks right now. So JP, I send it back to you. I'm serious about these numbers. I think this car got ripped for like 35% to 45% less than what it should have gone for.
I just don't think that's the case. I mean, I think that's a year ago numbers. I mean, 964 RSs, you brought that up, are not going for $400,000. They're going for three or less.
I was talking specifically. Ruby Stone seems to be the one that everybody wants. Ruby Stone
color, right? Yeah. Maybe that gets a premium on the right day and when the stars align or something like that. Yeah. But a red one is 200, you know, there's probably at least a couple of them for, you know, 250 euros out there that you could go, that's their asking price, which is basically less than $300,000 now. So I think the days of club sports RSs and stuff like that bringing crazy, crazy high money just aren't, it's not going to, these are the types of cars that are actually getting affected by what's going on with the economy. People that have the money know they don't need to blow it out there. I do think that some people are still kind of like going, yeah, maybe this is a good place to park some money. But I think that person that bought it did it right. I mean, $300,000 for this car makes sense. I think that's the right number. I know that I overbid it by $100,000, but I did say that I think it's going to struggle to even get there. And, you know, I'm playing the game along with you, having fun, you know, trying to, but, you know, I didn't just park it a dollar underneath. I just don't see these cars going for that money. I would rather have the 964 RS, honestly. Talked about running, you know, to rather have the regular 993 RS as well. But I think just a club sport, just, man, unless it's a berserk rare color or has actual racing pedigree, I think it's done. I don't think people are paying that kind of money. No?
No, I don't. I disagree with you, and I'll stand on that. I still think that these cars, by the numbers, are too rare, and I just think that they didn't find the right buyer for it. I think he left at least 100 grand, maybe more, on the table by running it no reserve. And I think he regrets letting it go.
Well, do you have are there any comps recently that prove that?
Nah, I was just trying to look on classic.com, and I don't know if I looked it up right, but I didn't find any comps, but there are RSAs in this country with like 10,000 miles that people are asking $250,000 for. So you're telling me for 40 grand more, you can have a 993 RSCS? Like, that just doesn't make any sense.
You know that game, the asking price. Yeah. I mean, is anybody getting 250 for an RSA? No way. I mean, unless it's a hermetically sealed one, that's not happening. They're less than $200,000. No.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, yeah, the real used ones are, and I think that's the real number. But like, if it's 200 grand for an RSA, then it's another 100 for an RS. And again, so now you take it to a CS, which is 24,000 miles, and you make the car infinitely younger by being a 993. I just still think that there's a premium to pay for that, and it wasn't realized here. So I'm standing on my number, and we can keep arguing this until we run out of tape.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if there were any data to support it, I'd agree with you. what do you guys think?
Like a seasoned politician, JP, I don't need data to support my take.
All right, so there it is. Did someone steal this car, or is that really the true value? The future will tell. I think it didn't. I think this is just what that car is worth. And I could see the regular RSs going up, but the CS type stuff, the really weird stuff, is just, there's just so few people that actually want that, I think. But what do you think? Let us know in the comments below. We love hearing from you guys. Someone out there knows better. Let's see when was the last time an RSCS sold for over $350,000. That's what I would like to see in America. Maybe someone could find that and let us know in the comments below. Michael Deeb would be very excited to see that, because you would vindicate his position if it were a sale that wasn't a year ago.
Right. I'm looking at data right now. Club Sport for sale. Oh, it's coming up in Sotheby's. There's our one, 296. And there's
he's digging it up. Stay in the show before he finds something to support his
28,
answer.
28, yeah.
Are you guys willing to just sit here and give Michael Deeb an extra minute to?
Okay. 1995 Club Sport with 31,000 miles on Bring a Trailer 1 month ago sold for $360,000, and it's in yellow and it's got more miles. So there you go.
A month ago, sold for more. So what was the difference between that one and this one? I don't see yellow bringing a premium over red. No. Neither one of those colors are particularly interesting. Yeah. Did that one have a racing pedigree or anything like that?
I don't know. It said restored original. And then also in March, on March 3rd, a day before, at Gooding & Company, one with 11,000 miles, so much less miles, RS Club Sport in yellow, sold for $423,000, which is more reflective of the bid I put forward. Yeah. I think our numbers hold true. I don't think the market fell off in 2 months. So I think that car got stolen. I'm going to stand on that. So
you think a car? So if it were a more traditional auction, makes more sense for something like that?
Yeah, I do. I do, because all the auction, representatives are going to be making sure that all the right people are at the auction. Somebody that might be in the market for that car will be watching it. And so there's less chance of a letdown. I think that less than 300 grand for the car that rare with that low miles is a letdown result. And they might've been let down by like 100 grand. So whoever's idea was to run that thing, no reserve, I think they made a grave error.
Not a particularly good presentation of the car, too. We talked about that.
No, terrible.
So is this the kind of thing, do you think maybe a dealer bought it and we're going to see it again in 2 or 3 months with amazeballs pictures? I could see Avant-Garde or somebody having the car like this, where it's just beautifully displayed and doesn't have a douchebag driving it with his hand on top of the steering wheel, one hand, and shifting with the other. Boy, that driving video,
John,
really
that's
is annoying, isn't it?
John, that's a great, it's a terrible video, but that's a great take. That at $296,000, whoever bought it could literally turn around and flip it. God, this car could wind up in the Porsche sale at the PEC with Broad Aero Group next month in Atlanta for the 75th anniversary. But it's serial number 125. So we'll just have to keep that as a little earmark that if we see another red Club Sport number 125, we'll see if somebody's profiting off of having bought this car correctly, because I think there's $100,000 in it.
There you go. You guys have you missed an opportunity to make $100,000. That's why you watch Bid Nerds, to find out how to make hundreds of thousands of dollars. Yeah.
Get those nerds!